Hey, welcome to the Journey Church, New York City. I'm Carrick, and I want to thank you for joining me today, just 1 week from Christmas, as we continue with our Christmas Carols teaching series. Each week during this series, we're taking a beloved Christmas carol, we're looking at the story behind each carol, but we're also going deeper to discover the meaning, the biblical meaning and message within each carol. And today what I want to do is I want to look at one of the lesser known of our Christmas carols. It may be lesser known, but it's also a carol filled with so much hope and so much meaning, especially in a world that's full of so much conflict and pain. Today I want to look at the carol, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. And the timing is impeccable because they just come out with a new movie called I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day that's about the writing. It's about the story behind the writing of this Christmas carol. Hollywood must have heard that Journey was doing this message and prepared the movie for us. But anyway, I've heard it's worth going to see if you want to see that. But listen, if you haven't yet, go ahead and click the button beside the live stream player. Download your message notes so you can take notes and follow along during the message today. Now, the truth is, it's a truth of life that often the greatest joy in life isn't from the presence of something positive, but from the removal of something negative. Sometimes the greatest joy in life comes from the cessation of and the removal of pain or of conflict. And I saw this truth played out firsthand in my life just a couple of weeks ago. My wife, Lori, spent several days in the hospital. She had emergency surgery, and she's doing much better now. But while she was in the hospital, she had to go through a great deal of really severe pain. And I thought I was tough, but let me tell you, Lori is so much tougher. I don't think I could have gone through what she did. She was so much tougher than me. And at one point, we were in the hospital, and she had just finished a procedure, and she was in so much pain that she was gripping my hand. Her fingernails were digging into my hand. She was gritting her teeth. There were tears coming down her cheeks. She was in so much pain. And then the nurse came in and put a shot of medicine directly into her IV. And just a few moments later, Lori began to relax. Her body began to relax. Her hand relaxed. Her breathing became normal. Her blood pressure and heart rate went down. She was able to relax. I think it's a moment Lori will probably never, ever forget because the incredible pain she was in all of a sudden stopped and she was at peace. You see, sometimes in life, the greatest joy we experience is not from the presence of something positive, but from the removal of something negative, from the removal of pain or conflict in our life. And that's what peace is. Peace is the removal of conflict, of pain, of condemnation, of fear, of worry, of anxiety. Peace is freedom. And when peace is present in our world, it can bring such relief, especially in a world that's full of so much anguish and so much conflict. And get this, peace is what the angels promised on that first night when they announced that Jesus was born to the shepherds on that first Christmas night. Now let's look at that story right now. It's in your notes. We're going to Luke chapter 2, the Christmas story, the first Christmas, and this is when the angel appeared to the shepherds. Here's what the angel said. It says, suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. Now, if you're taking notes, I want you to underline that phrase, peace on earth. What a great promise. Peace on earth. End of conflict, end of pain, peace on earth. But have you noticed when you look around that and notice what's going on around us that there's not really a whole lot of peace on earth right now, is there? Not a lot of peace in our families, not a lot of peace in our marriages, not a lot of peace in our workplace, not a lot of peace in our hearts. You know who else noticed this? One of America's premier poets, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. You know, Longfellow is known as one of America's great poets, but on Christmas Day, 1863, it was Christmas Day, 1863, it was right in the middle of the Civil War, and Longfellow was dealing with grief. His wife had died tragically in a fire just 2 years prior, and then his oldest son was severely injured during the Civil War. And that Christmas day, in the midst of the Civil War, in the midst of the tragedy of the injury to his son and the loss of his wife, Longfellow heard the church bells ringing in Cambridge, Massachusetts, the Christmas bells. And he was reminded of the words that the angels sang to the shepherds on that first Christmas morning in Luke chapter 2, announcing the birth of Christ, announcing the coming of peace on earth. But looking around, Longfellow noticed there wasn't a lot of peace, but conflict and injustice that seemed to mock the optimistic promise of the angels. And filled with grief, Longfellow wrote a poem seeking to capture the struggle that he felt in his own heart between the promise of peace that came with the birth of Jesus and the reality of living in a broken, violent, sinful world. I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day is perhaps one of the lesser known of the Christmas carols, but its lyrics, born out of painful circumstances and based on Luke chapter 2, drive home a message of peace and hope in the midst of a hurting world. It's a message that I hope to share with you today. But before I do, I've asked our worship team to come, and I've asked them to sing and lead us in the carol, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. And as our team leads us in this song, here's what I want you to do. I want you to pay special attention to these words and the hope of peace that Jesus brings on Christmas. So listen closely as our team leads us in I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. On that first Christmas, the angels announced the birth of Jesus and the coming of peace on earth and goodwill to all of those with whom God was pleased. Now, as our Christmas carol reminds us, even though the promise of peace was made, it seems like in our world, hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And so how do we experience that peace that was promised on that first Christmas? How do we replace the conflict and hurt that plagues our world, that plagues our hearts and our lives, with the peace that only Jesus can offer? Today, I want to show you four kinds of peace, four types of peace that Jesus offers you today, and four biblical decisions that you can make so that you can experience real peace in your life this Christmas. And so in your notes, if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. How to experience real peace in my life this Christmas. Here's the first decision. To experience peace with myself, trust Jesus to remind me of his unconditional love. Write that in. To experience peace with myself, trust Jesus to remind me of his unconditional love. Now, the truth is, for some people, Christmas can really be the toughest time of the year. And when you're alone with your thoughts, the holidays can become not so much a time of celebration, but a time of hurt and even sadness. You know, maybe it's regret or shame as you reflect on your recent divorce and you think about the things that you could have done, that you might have done to keep your family together. Maybe it's loneliness and sadness as you approach the holiday season because this is going to be the first Christmas without a loved one who passed away, or maybe because of circumstances you're not able to travel to be with your family and you're feeling the sting of loneliness. You know, it was primarily the loss of his wife that drove Longfellow to even write this Christmas carol, "I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day." Or for you, maybe it's disappointment because you realize that as the year comes to an end, there are so many things that in your life that are broken. And maybe right now you feel like a failure. Maybe it's anger. Maybe it's anger because of what someone did to you. Maybe it was a long time ago, but whatever it is, it still hurts and it still cuts deep. You know, many times, even for Christians, the most difficult type of peace for us to secure is the peace that's within our own hearts. Because we keep replaying the records of our own hurts, of our own failures, of our own fears, and we just replay it again and again in our mind. You know, if the angels promised peace on that first Christmas, why is it so hard for me to have peace with myself, to feel peace in my heart? Well, for starters, it's important that you realize that you are in a constant battle with the evil one, who is always trying to rob you of peace. He's primarily trying to remove peace from your life. See, once you're a Christian, Satan cannot take away your salvation. Satan can't take away heaven from you once you've put your faith in Jesus Christ. But you know what he can do? He can rob you of joy. He can rob your peace. And so Satan will do whatever he can in this life to fill your heart with anger and stress and fear and shame. You know what he'll do? He'll make you satisfied. He'll make you dissatisfied with who you are and what you've done so that you will never have peace again. And Satan's primary strategy to doing this, to robbing you of peace, is he likes to bring up all of the sins, all of the failures, all of the struggles that are going on in your life. And he likes to make those sins and those failures and those struggles, he makes them the primary narrative in your life. He gets you to do that. He tells you that you're a fraud. He tells you that you aren't really saved. He asks you, how could God really accept you? How could Jesus love you? You aren't enough. You blew it. And you begin believing that lie. That lie that right now you're a disappointment to God, that you're a disappointment to everyone around you. But there's a truth that you need to hold on to and never let go of. And that is, you are not a disappointment to God, and Jesus will never stop loving you. Jesus didn't start loving you because you had it all together, and he's not going to stop loving you because you don't have it all together right now. In fact, if you look at our next verse, Romans chapter 8, verse 39, it's Paul reminding us of God's incredible love for us. In fact, I want you to read this out loud with me. So wherever you're joining us for church online today, I want you to read this with me, beginning with nothing. Are you ready? Go. Nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing in all of creation will ever be able to separate you from the love of God. Let me tell you, no matter what's happened in your life to this point, no matter what you've done or who you've let down, no matter who's hurt you, God loves you and he will never stop loving you. He's for you. You're his child. You're not a disappointment to him. He will never stop loving you. So stop listening to those lies. Jesus died on the cross to prove his unconditional love for you. So this Christmas, as you sing Christmas carols, as you read the Christmas story, as you celebrate the birth of Jesus, let Jesus remind you of his unconditional love for you, and that no matter what happens, he will never stop loving you. And that also means that if you ask him, Jesus will never stop forgiving you. No matter how bad the sin, no matter how many times you commit the same sin over and over again and feel stupid and feel ashamed about it, you can always return to God. I love what 1 John 1:9 says there in your notes. It says, if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. Underline that phrase, faithful and just. Faithful and just means that when Jesus makes a promise that he keeps it, and it means that Jesus will forgive you every time. He won't let you down. If you will bring your sins to him and ask for forgiveness, he'll forgive you every time so that you can have peace with yourself. Even if others won't forgive you, Jesus will. Even when others won't love you, Jesus will. Let me just say this. If Jesus will forgive you, then you can forgive yourself. And if Jesus loves you unconditionally, then you can experience peace within yourself. And so, to experience this first kind of peace, peace with myself, you have to trust in Jesus' unconditional love for you. I hope you do today. Then, back in your notes, that leads to the second kind of peace. Write this down. To experience the peace of God, trust Jesus with the circumstances of my life. So we talked about experiencing peace with myself, but if I want to experience the peace of God, I have to trust Jesus with the circumstances of my life. Now, what is the peace of God? Well, the peace of God is a feeling of God's presence and power in your life. It's a feeling of joy and confidence that you feel no matter what's going on around you, that everything's going to be okay. Even you feel like everything's going to be okay, even when everyone else is telling you everything's not going to be okay, because you have the peace of God within you. You see, when you become a follower of Jesus, the Bible says that God gives you the Holy Spirit who lives in you and is also called the Comforter. And one of the Holy Spirit's many jobs is to impart the peace of God to you. You see, the Holy Spirit's presence in your life reminds you that God is far, far more than just sufficient for everything that you're going to face. So you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to stress out because God has got it. But don't miss this. The peace of God that we feel on the inside doesn't just appear automatically. See, the peace of God can be stolen from you. It's a peace that you must actively pursue by trusting Jesus with the circumstances of your life, even when things get difficult, even when they feel out of control. Now, sadly, when we allow anxiety and fear to set in, it's easy for us to get distracted. It's easy for us to get discouraged. We take our eyes off of Jesus. We start focusing on all that's wrong. We start focusing on all the problems in our life. And the flow of God's peace into our life is blocked by all of those worries. Our joy is gone. But Paul, the Apostle Paul, shows us the key to keeping the flow of God's peace open in your life, to keeping it present in your life. And he tells us this key in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. So I'll put this up on the screen. Follow along, and it's in your notes if you're taking notes. Look at what Paul says. He says, don't worry about anything. Now, circle that word worry. Why does he say don't worry? Well, let me tell you, worry blocks the peace of God from coming into your life. I'll tell you why in just a moment. He says, don't worry about anything. That blocks my peace. He says, instead, pray about everything. Circle that word pray. Why do you pray about everything? Because praying opens the flow of God's peace into your life. Then it continues. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience what? God's peace. Circle those two words. God's peace. You will experience the peace of God, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. See, you've got a choice. You can worry. And by the way, worry is trying to control the circumstances that are beyond control. You worry when you try to control everything going on, your circumstances that are beyond your control. And so you're stressed out. So you have a choice. You can worry or you can pray. And prayer is when, instead of trying to control the uncontrollable, you trust God to control the circumstances of your life. And when you pray and you give control of it to God, that's when you experience God's peace. So I want you to see this. You can worry or you can pray. You can pray or you can worry. You can try to control the circumstances, or you can trust God to control the circumstances. But you cannot do both at the same time. You've got to choose, worry or pray. And don't miss this. The peace of God is not caused by the absence of trials and sorrows in your life. Some people think, well, I've got the peace of God in my life right now. But it's really just because everything is going good in your life right now. It's not the peace of God. It may not be the peace of God. It may just be your circumstances are going really well. No, you know you've got the peace of God when everything is going wrong in your life and everyone else around you is freaking out and you have this indescribable peace in your heart because you're trusting Jesus. You know that God has got this. John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus says it this way. He says, I have told you all this so that you may have, underline this next phrase, peace in me. He said, I'm telling you this so you can have peace. And he says this, here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows. Remember, peace doesn't come because of an absence of trials. The peace of God isn't the absence of trials. He says, here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. The peace of God is not connected to the absence of trials in your life. It's connected to your faith in Jesus to overcome whatever it is in life that you have to face. You receive peace with yourself when you're reminded of God's unconditional love for you. You receive the peace of God by trusting Jesus with your circumstances. Then next in your notes, do experience peace with others. Trust Jesus to help me relate to others with grace. To experience peace with others, trust Jesus to help me relate to others with grace. Now, Longfellow wrote the words to I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day right in the middle of the Civil War. But I want you to fast forward 50 years after that, after the Civil War, after he wrote this great carol. It was Christmas Eve, 1914, 5 months after the beginning of World War I. And it was on the front lines of the war. The trenches were on both sides. And that night, it was a beautiful moonlit night, frost on the ground. There was white everywhere. And no one knows how it started, but across the trench-dug front, standing between the Germans and the Austrians on one side and the Allies on the other side, someone began singing a Christmas carol. Maybe it was I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. I don't know. Then the other side sang a Christmas carol. And then Christmas carols began to be sung back and forth, first in German, then in French, then in English. And then when daylight broke the next morning, soldiers began emerging from the trenches, shouting Merry Christmas to the enemies on the other side. Soldiers began talking and exchanging little trinkets as gifts. Even makeshift games of soccer broke out. Instead of gunfire, laughter crossed the front of World War I. Now listen, there was no official truce that day, but an unofficial truce broke out all across the front lines. For one day in World War I, at least, on Christmas Day, 1914, enemies chose to relate to one another with grace instead of with judgment. And there was peace on earth and goodwill to men. Now, even though the circumstances of your life may not be as life-threatening as these, many of you are going to face the same choices this Christmas of relating to people in your life with grace or with judgment. And that will determine whether you have peace or conflict in your life this Christmas season. And you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. You walk into the door this Christmas and you see your mom, and the first thing she says is a comment that hurts your feelings. Do you respond with grace and keep the peace, or do you snap right back at her? You know, you share custody with your ex, and it's always a fight. And when they don't keep their end, do you respond with grace and keep the peace? Or do you go after them and escalate the situation for everyone involved? You walk into a heated meeting at work. Coworkers are going at each other. Do you respond with grace or do you get your pound of flesh? And by the way, it's not just the holidays. This is a universal principle. More than you realize, you have the ability to bring peace instead of conflict to the most important relationships in your life by leading and choosing grace. God's grace. What is grace? Grace is God's unmerited favor towards us. Grace is God's unmerited favor towards us. It's his love. It's his kindness. It's his favor towards us when we didn't deserve it. God's grace brings peace between you and God because God forgives you when you mess up. Even when you've done nothing to deserve that forgiveness and that love, he gives it to you anyway. That's grace. And listen, God asks us, once we've received that grace from him, to extend that same grace to others in our lives, even to those who mess up, even to those who offend us, to forgive them. Look at our next passage, Ephesians 4:32. I want you to read this verse out loud with me, wherever you're joining us for church online. Ephesians 4:32. Are you ready? Go. Be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Paul says, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Now, I want you to take your pen if you're taking notes. I want you to circle the word kind, and I want you to circle the word forgiving. Because those two words, kindness and forgiveness, will go a long ways to bringing peace in your relationships this Christmas. Lead with kindness, respond with forgiveness. Lead with kindness, respond with forgiveness. See, that's how Jesus relates to you. He leads with kindness to you every day. And then he responds to you by forgiveness whenever you ask it of him. And if you'll relate to others in the same way, if you'll relate to others by leading in every instance with kindness and responding in every instance with forgiveness, that's grace. And if you will have grace in your life, it will bring peace, even to the most difficult relationships. Look at how the Apostle Paul implores us to relate to one another this way. In Romans 12:18, look at what he says. He says, do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Underline that phrase, do all that you can. Notice Paul says, do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. But have you noticed that sometimes, no matter what you do, you just can't bring peace to a relationship. You just can't live in peace with someone. Maybe it's because the other person isn't willing. You're trying to bring peace, but they're not willing. And maybe they won't forgive you. They won't communicate with you. Sometimes you just need to forgive them in your heart and then walk away. You did all that you could. You did all that you can. Maybe the other person hurt you deeply. Sometimes grace means forgiving them so that you can let go of the hurt, but not letting them back into your life so that they will hurt you again. Understand, grace doesn't mean that you let other people walk over you. It means that you lead with kindness, that you respond with forgiveness. You try to reconcile the relationship if you can. You try to bring peace, but if you can't, you walk away with peace because you did all that you can. On Christmas 1914, those soldiers, at least for one day, they chose grace over conflict. And let me tell you, you can make that same decision this Christmas to bring peace to your most important relationships. And I hope you will. And that leads us to the final step to experience real peace this Christmas. So if you want to experience peace with yourself, the peace of God, and peace with others, it all starts with securing this most important type of peace in your life first. So if you want to experience all the peace that we've talked about so far, it starts here. So write this in your notes. To experience peace with God, trust Jesus for my salvation. To experience peace with God, trust Jesus for my salvation. Okay, so what's the difference? I talked earlier about peace with God. What's the difference between, I talked about the peace of God. So what's the difference between the peace of God and peace with God? Well, the peace of God is a feeling of confidence and joy in your heart. But as I mentioned, even as a Christian, that can be stolen from you. The peace of God is a peace you must actively pursue in your life through prayer. But let me say this, peace with God is not a feeling. It's a fact. It's a relationship with God that is unbreakable. And it's a peace that can never be taken away from you, no matter what you do, no matter how you feel in the moment. Every other kind of peace that you experience in this life extends and stems from being at peace with God. So it starts here. The most important kind of peace is peace with God. And it means that your relationship with God is right. It is good. It is solid. Unfortunately, the Bible tells us that your relationship with God isn't right, that it's broken by sin, that you're not at peace with God. I'm not at peace with God because you and me and all of us, we have sinned. Sin is where we've turned our back on God. We've disobeyed him. We've gone our own way. We've lived our own way. We've missed the mark that God set out for our lives. That's called sin. And as a result of sin, you do not have peace with God. You have a broken relationship with God. And because you don't have peace with God, you can't experience the peace of God. In other words, you don't feel God's peace and power and presence in your life as you go through the circumstances of life. And because you don't have peace with God, you don't have peace with yourself. You feel an emptiness. You feel an unworthiness. You're not forgiven. You feel lost. And because you don't have peace with God, you don't have peace with others. I mean, you haven't experienced God's grace and forgiveness in your own life. How are you possibly going to extend that grace and forgiveness to someone else because you haven't felt it in your own life? Because of sin, you do not have peace with God. And because you do not have peace with God, you do not have peace in any area of your life. And listen to me, what's worse? Until you have peace with God, you're separated from God, not just now in this life, but you're separated from God for all of eternity. And you miss out on heaven. And so how do we overcome this brokenness and find peace with God? Well, let's go back to that first Christmas and to the angel's words to the shepherds that night. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 10. Again, the angel speaking to the shepherds. They said, "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior," circle that word Savior, "the Savior," yes, the Messiah, the Lord, "has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David." Look up here for a moment. You need a Savior. You need someone who will help you overcome the sin that right now stands between you and God and who will help bring you peace with God. Peace with God is not something that you can achieve or bargain with or buy or earn by being a good person. It's a gift that you receive from God when you put your faith in Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus makes it possible for you to have faith with God. Jesus paid the penalty for your sins on the cross so that you can be made right with God and experience God's peace and presence and power in your life right now. And so that you can spend all of eternity with God in heaven. And so how do you receive this peace with God? Well, it's simple. It's found in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. This is our memory verse for today. And so wherever you're joining us for Church Online, I want to ask you to read this verse with me out loud together. Romans 5, 1, beginning with "therefore." Are you ready? Go. "Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done with us." See, you have peace with God. You were made right with God by faith, by trusting in Jesus for your salvation, by believing that he is the Son of God, that he rose from the dead, and by committing to follow him. Peace with God, your salvation. It's not a feeling that comes and goes. It's a fact. It's a reality once you place your faith in Jesus. It's free and it's forever, and it can never be taken away from you. Because it's based not on what you do, but it's based on what Jesus did for you on the cross. And you can have that peace of God, that peace with God right now. You can pray right now, and you can invite Jesus into your life. Will you do that right now as we pray? Wherever you're joining us for Church Online today, would you just bow your head and close your eyes if you're able? And let's go to God in prayer. Let this be a time between you and him where you talk to your Heavenly Father. Father, thank you for the promise of peace that you offer us from that first Christmas through your Son, Jesus Christ. In a world full of conflict and hate and pain, you offer your peace. May we experience it in our own lives and may we spread it through the lives that we live. God, I pray that you give us the peace of God to face with confidence all the circumstances of life. I pray that you give us peace with others for the relationships in our life. And I pray that you give us peace with ourselves through your love and forgiveness. And listen, if you're here today and you've never gotten right with God. You don't have, right now, you don't have peace with God because of the sin in your life. You can take care of this right now as we pray. You can secure your eternity in heaven and open your life to experiencing the peace that only God can offer. Right now, as with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if you're ready to get right with God and experience peace with God, pray this simple prayer with me in your heart as I pray it out loud. Father, today I confess that I have sinned and I have lived outside of your will for my life. I believe in my heart that Jesus rose from the dead, overcoming sin. Please come into my life and forgive me of my sins. I want to follow you from this day forward as part of your church. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.